It's Dominica in Albis, Quasimodo Sunday, Thomas Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, Sunday of the Octave of Easter. Welcome to the final podcast of the Easter cycle. Quasimodo genit infantes. The final Roman station of the Octave is San Pancrazio on the Janiculum Hill. The basilica was built by Pope Symmachus in the early 6th century at the burial place of St. Pancras, a 14-year-old martyr in 304 after his conversion to Christianity. Beneath the basilica, there's a vast catacomb. Pancras was an orphan from modern-day Turkey, but raised in Rome by a noble family. At 14, he converted, which enraged the emperor Diocletian, who threatened him death if he didn't recant. In this, the young man is the male counterpart to the early Roman virgin martyrs. He was beheaded on the 4th of May in 304 and buried in the catacomb here in the Janiculum, and his cult grew up very quickly. Since ancient times, this Sunday is called Dominica in Albis, or Albis Depositis, the Sunday of the white robes having been taken off. In the early church, the newly baptized were called infantes, infants, as in 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babes long for the pure spiritual milk. The newly baptized wore their baptismal robes for an octave period after Easter, during which they received special instruction about the sacred mysteries in Christian life. On this Sunday, they removed their robes, which showed that they were kind of out of the nest of the bishop, as it were, and living like a mature Catholic. St. Augustine of Hippo compares his newly baptized infantes to little birds trying to fly out from the nest while he, the parent bird, flapped around them and chirped to encourage them. It's been a privilege to flap around and chirp at you and to encourage you in these podcasts during Lent and now Easter time. I hope you will always keep your baptismal character fresh in your minds and hearts. From Scott Hahn's Lenten Reflections from A Father Who Keeps His Promises. From the Letter to the Hebrews. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It may seem that the church John envisions in Revelation is a far cry from the church we have experienced. We see scandal and hypocrisy, bland liturgies, false teaching, broken families, sin and sinners everywhere. We have to remember we walk by faith, not by sight. By faith we understand that the church's essential identity is heavenly. We can't judge her by our earthly experience. She is only fully herself in heaven. Here on earth, the church is a field full of both wheat and weeds. But she is really and truly the heavenly kingdom here on earth. Through Scripture, we must train ourselves to attain a sacramental vision of the church. When you allow scandal to make you leave the church, you are not only depriving yourself of spiritual food, the sacraments, you are spurning Christ's bride. Sinners are in the church, but they do not embody the church. For them, the church is a hospital for healing, so they can be made into saints. The sacraments, the liturgy, and especially the saints embody the church's true essence. The real crisis in the church today is a crisis of saints. But we can trust our Father to handle this. We can trust Him to keep His promises to us. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So, with St. John Paul II, I urge you, make yourselves saints, and do so quickly. Question: do I trust God to make me a saint, and quickly? Lord Jesus, thank you for the Feast of Divine Mercy. Your mercy is a shelter for all souls, especially for sinners. I want to experience the depths of your grace and mercy. It is the only way for someone like me to become a saint. Listening to these 55 podcasts for Lent and Easter. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Please pray for me as I will for you.